说，你过几天，这小宅无。
Welcome to the second season of True Crime Niger. In this season, we bring you stories of crimes that happen not only in Nigeria, but also across Africa.
We hope that by sharing these stories, we all become more aware of the types of crimes that happen here.
And by becoming aware, we become smarter at detecting and hopefully preventing similar crimes.
This episode and other episodes of True Crime Niger can be found on our 234 Audio YouTube channel, on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, let's get started.
It's a cool afternoon on Tuesday, the 4th of December 2018 in Takoradi, Ghana. Takoradi is a big city along the coast of Ghana and it's about a 5-hour drive southwest from Accra, the capital.
Rita Kwason is at home waiting to hear from her 18-year-old younger sister, Ruth Kwason. Ruth had left the house earlier that day to go apply for a job at an MTN office located at Takoradi Market Circle, which is about a 30-minute drive from where they live. MTN is one of the major mobile telecom companies in Africa. Ruth had heard the news of the job vacancy from a friend and wanted to apply.
As Rita waits, she turns on the TV in their living room to pass the time with something mindless. Before she can even settle down, her mother comes busting into the living room and hands her a phone.
Rita is confused. She collects the phone and puts it to her ear. Hello? Hello?
Rita hears nothing but muffled sounds. She looks at her mother. Her mother looks terrified. She looks at the phone and sees who's on the line. It's Ruth.
Hello, Ruth. Ruth!
She hears her sister's voice now. She's crying.
Ruth!
Please help! Help! I entered the taxi. I didn't see anything.
The line starts to break.
Ruth, where are you?
Ruth cries as she speaks.
Some people have taken me into a room and they're demanding for 500 Ghana cedis or else I will not leave.
These words drive a shiver down Rita's spine. At this point, she looks as terrified as her mother.
Hello, Ruth.
The line gets shakier and then it goes dead.
Ruth! Ruth! Hi, I'm Antonietta.
I'm John.
And I'm Nabila.
And this story...
This story...
could
save
your life.
Immediately after the line goes dead, Rita's mother breaks down in tears. Rita calls her sister Rebecca and breaks the news to her. Rita tells Rebecca to report the incident to the police.
But why didn't Rita go to the police herself? I mean, she had something like a first-hand account of what happened.
Well, Rita knew time was critical, and she wanted to start her own investigation.
When Ruth left the house around 9:30 a.m. that day, she didn't leave alone. She left with Stacy, their next-door neighbor. Rita wanted to know if Stacy returned, or if her family also received any call like this from Stacy too.
Rita goes to Stacy's house, but at first, Stacy was not there. A few hours later, Stacy returns home. Stacy tells Rita that she and Ruth separated in the city. Although before leaving for the market, she had noticed something suspicious.
Throughout that day, one number kept calling Ruth over and over again. The number was saved as Sammy NF. The calls started while they were still at home and continued on the bus as they made their way to the market.
But instead of going to the market, Ruth gets off the bus at a place called Butimajibu Junction in Takoradi.
So, are you saying she never made it to Takoradi Market Circle?
No, she never made it. And when Rita gets this information, she goes to the police that evening. At the police station, she finds out that Ruth wasn't the only girl kidnapped from the Takoradi area.
there were already two other cases of abducted girls. The first case was that of another 18-year-old girl named Ruth Abaka. Abaka had just finished high school before she was kidnapped on the 29th of July 2018. A month after Abaka went missing, 21-year-old Priscilla Bentum disappeared. Priscilla was a 300-level student in a university in Ghana, and she was last seen on August 17, 2018.
That's really worrying. Were these girls ever found?
No. I mean, not yet. An investigation was still going on.
When Rita heard this news, she got more terrified for her sister's life. After she meets with the police, Rita saves the phone numbers of the policemen who attended to her, and she goes back home.
At home, her mother gets another phone call from Ruth's phone number. This time, the voice they hear belongs to a man with an accent a little different from Ghana.
If you want to see your daughter, transfer money to this number this night or else you'll never see her again.
And the line goes dead.
Immediately after, Rita calls the Ghana police to report what happened, and the police transfer the case to the CID. CID stands for Criminal Investigation Department. They are responsible for investigating criminal cases reported to the police.
Oh, okay, so like detectives?
Yes, just like detectives. The CID advised Rita not to send a huge amount to the kidnappers as they continue to investigate the case.
That night, Rita sends 100 Ghana cedis, which is equivalent to about 7,000 naira.
The next morning, December 5th, 2018, Rita's family receives yet another call. This time, the man demands 10,000 Ghana cedis as ransom money. That's about 700,000 naira.
Rita and her family decide to go back to the police, and on their way to the station, the kidnapper continues calling and threatening Ruth's life. At the station, the CID tells Rita the best thing to do is to get the call list from Ruth's phone.
Call list?
Yes. Remember I told you a strange number was calling Ruth continuously before she went missing?
Yeah, that's the number her friend Stacy said was saved as Sammy NF, right?
Yes. So, a call list is like her call history. If the CID could get the call list, they would be able to trace the number that was continuously calling her the day she was kidnapped. And that may lead to some kind of clue about where Ruth is. And to get Ruth's call list, they needed a court order, which took a few days to get.
Wait, but the kidnapper has been calling. Why couldn't the CID just use the number they were calling from to track them?
To be sincere, we don't know why they didn't do that at first. That was fishy.
As Rita and her family waited on the court order, they got a text from the kidnapper and it said, "You want to joke with us, right?"
The kidnappers call later that evening to tell Rita and her family that Ruth is sick and they need money to treat her. Rita records this phone call and sends it to the police. Then she sends another 100 Ghana cedis to the kidnappers.
After a few days of waiting, Rita finally gets the call list with help from the Bureau of National Investigations. And just like Stacy said, there was a particular number that called Ruth's phone several times. The call list was given to the police for further investigation.
While the police are still investigating, the kidnappers keep calling Rita and her family for the ransom money. Rita is able to send 500 Ghana cedis more. As the news of Ruth and the other two girls begin to reach the mainstream media, a new report reaches the police of another missing girl, Priscilla Koranchi.
Priscilla was only 15 years old and she was last seen on the 21st of December 2018 at Nkroful Junction, also in Takoradi. She had left her home to pick up a mobile phone and just like with Ruth, Priscilla's parents were receiving calls from a man requesting a ransom.
Now, the news of the Takoradi girls was everywhere and the police were under pressure to find and rescue them. On the evening of the 22nd of December 2018, Rita gets a call from the police. Rita's younger sister Ruth has been kidnapped. Rita and the family have been getting calls from the kidnappers and they have been sharing everything they know with the police. This night, they get a call, but it's from the police.
The police tell Rita that someone has been arrested for the kidnapping of her sister. The person arrested is 28-year-old Samuel Wills. Samuel is a Nigerian trader who was residing in Kansa Warodo, there in Ghana. Kansa Warodo is a suburb in Takoradi, and that's where Samuel was at the time of his arrest.
Hold on, the guy arrested is Nigerian?
Yes.
How was he arrested?
Well, remember we told you Rita gave the CID a call list?
Yeah, a call list which had all the phone numbers that called Ruth's phone before she was kidnapped.
Exactly. Now, all the families of the other girls who were kidnapped also gave a call list to the police for investigation. While investigating the call list, the police found a number that had repeatedly been calling Priscilla on the day she was kidnapped.
Priscilla Bentum was the girl taken in August, right?
Yes, August 17th to be precise. The police discovered that the phone number was registered to Samuel. And while investigating Samuel, the police found out he has a second number which he used to call Ruth.
Hold on, didn't Ruth have the number saved under the name Sammy NF? Did Ruth know him?
Yes, it was saved under the name Sammy NF. I think they knew each other.
When Samuel was arrested, the police also retrieved a phone and an iPad from him. And while investigating the phone, they found a picture of Priscilla on it. When news of the arrest reached Rita and her family, they immediately go where he was being held in Takoradi Police Station. At the station, Rita listens to Samuel speak and she recognizes the accent. The accent is the same as the one she heard on the phone that was demanding the ransom money. Rita also tells the police that after Samuel's arrest, the kidnapper had stopped calling.
But even after the arrest, the police still had no idea where the four missing girls were, which raised a lot of eyebrows.
I mean, yeah. Was Samuel not questioned?
Well, the police were not sharing information, which made the public suspicious that maybe the police had messed up somehow.
Then, on the 30th of December, 8 days after Samuel was arrested, a report reached the public that he had broken out.
Wait, as in he broke out of jail?
Yes, Samuel had broken out of jail. Apparently, Samuel used an object to cut the iron rod that was covering the window in the cell and escaped.
The news of Samuel's escape irritated the public. The police were under fire and protests began to happen around Takoradi to demand justice. Social media and traditional media took up the issue and demanded an investigation into the kidnappings and the escape. The seven policemen who were on duty while Samuel escaped were given a 2-week ultimatum to produce him.
Now get this. After Samuel's escape, the ransom calls to the families start again. But on the 4th of January, 5 days after he escaped, Samuel was rearrested. He was found in an uncompleted building at Kanso Warado.
Oh, thank God. I hope he was properly questioned about the girls this time around.
Not quite. He's immediately taken to Takoradi District Court, where he's charged with escaping custody, resisting arrest, and destroying public property. Samuel appears before the court on 9th January 2019, and he pleads not guilty to those charges, but still no news of the girls.
The police are not being direct with the public or the families of the missing girls. Throughout January, more protests are organized through the streets of Takoradi to raise awareness and put pressure on the police. But all the police keep saying is that an investigation is going on. We will find the girls, and we know where the girls are, we will bring them home safely.
On the 11th of February 2019, during one of Samuel's proceedings in court, he reveals that a CID officer was the one who helped him escape. And when this news got out to the public, there was an uproar in Takoradi. During another protest, the families issued the police a 1-week ultimatum to find their daughters. So the police decided to go back to investigate everything they found in Samuel's house, which includes a phone.
While investigating his phone, they discover a Facebook conversation that Samuel had with a man named John Orji on the 19th of July 2018. That's 10 days before Ruth Abaka went missing. In the conversation, Samuel asked Orji whether he could kill for money, and Orji said yes, and Samuel replied with a thumbs up. Then Samuel and Oji discussed kidnapping and how substances such as cocaine and heroin could be administered to victims. In their chat, they used code words like KDP and RBS. According to the police, KDP means kidnap and RBS means ritual blood sacrifices.
After discovering this, the police launched a manhunt for John Oji. Oji was believed to be a salesman in Port Harcourt, Nigeria, and he visited Samuel regularly in Kansa Worodo, Ghana.
On the 4th of June 2019, Oji was arrested by the police in Aflao, a town at the border of Ghana and Togo, and he was handed over to the CID at the Police National Headquarters in Accra. Samuel and Oji were then charged with kidnapping as the police continued to look for the girls. It's now almost 1 year since Ruth Abaka and Priscilla Bentum went missing, and 7 months after Ruth Kwesen went missing.
Between August 2nd and August 5th, 2019, Samuel and Oji lead the police to their previous houses. That's where police retrieve human remains from a septic tank behind a house that Samuel previously lived in.
News of the police discovery hit the families of the missing girls hard. But some of the families were in disbelief. After hearing the news, Priscilla's father told Daily Guide that he believes his daughter is still alive.
Oh no, poor man.
I know. Everybody was shocked at the news of the death of the young girls.
Their remains were sent to the Forensic Science Lab at the Ghana Police Service for analysis and further investigation. DNA samples from family members, including Rita and her mother, were collected and tested by the police forensic team.
A few weeks later, the Inspector General of Police organized a press conference in Accra and announced that the tests conducted revealed that the skeletal remains belonged to the missing girls, including Ruth.
Ruth Kwesen was just 18 years old when she died. She had just finished her senior secondary school and was preparing for university. She had been described by her sister as cheerful and sweet. The death of the missing girls rocked the city of Takoradi. Many people, including the families, blamed the police for giving them false hope about finding the girls. There were even online petitions asking the CID boss to resign over giving false hope.
And even after the DNA results came out, some of the families still doubted the police. They demanded that the government turn over the remains to them so they could conduct independent tests.
Well, I can understand why the families would want to do independent tests. They're looking for closure and they've lost trust in the investigation.
Exactly. And as the trial for Samuel and Oji continued, more information came to the public. It was revealed that Samuel was in contact with the girls before they were kidnapped and killed.
He had lured them by telling them he was going to get them a job. Some reports suggested that Samuel was even dating one of the girls.
Which one?
Priscilla Bentum.
Whoa, wait, she was the 21-year-old, right?
Yes.
Well, that could explain why the police found her picture on his phone.
Now, despite all the evidence against Samuel and Oji, the testimonies from the families about the voice they heard asking for the ransom, the recording of Samuel's voice that Rita gave the police, the girls' phones that were found in the house, the remains of the body, despite all of this evidence, Samuel and Oji denied all the charges laid against them.
But either way, on March 5th, 2021, the Sekondi High Court in Ghana sentenced Samuel Wills and John Oji to death by hanging for the kidnapping and murder of 18-year-old Ruth Kwesen, 21-year-old Priscilla Bentum, 18-year-old Ruth Abaka, and 15-year-old Priscilla Koranchi.
I have so many questions. So the police arrested Samuel in December and then again in January after he escaped. But they don't arrest Oji until June? Why did it take almost 6 months to arrest Oji?
Well, we know that they found Oji only after they reviewed the Facebook conversation on Samuel's phone. Now, if Samuel didn't give them access to his Facebook login, it's possible they had to go through Facebook, the company, to get access, which might have taken time. And remember that Oji might have also been in Nigeria at the time, so it would have taken some time to work with the Nigerian police to extradite him back to Ghana.
Okay, fine, that's possible. But they eventually found the girl's remains in Samuel's house, right? If they arrested him in January 2019, why did they only find the remains in August? Why didn't they search his residence back in January when they first arrested him?
We also had the same questions, but we could not find the answers. There was definitely a long gap in between the arrests and the bodies being discovered. I think it's part of why the families and the public were so frustrated with the police, and they eventually just stopped believing them.
And did the police ever reveal who helped Samuel break out of prison? He told the court that an officer helped him.
No, they didn't. And Samuel kept changing his story. First, he said a police officer helped him. Then he said it was an officer and John Orji. He eventually told the court he didn't know the name of the officer, but that he could point him out if he sees him.
So did he actually point out the officer?
Well, the police never brought up the matter again.
See, that's my problem with this case. The police kept a lot of information from the families and the public. I mean, I get trying to protect the investigation, but things just do not add up.
If there was an issue with the investigation, they should at least be forthcoming about it so that everyone can learn from the mistakes.
And it's hard for families to move on when there are so many unanswered questions.
I really hope the families get the closure they need to move on.
I hope so too. For this week's episode, we relied on many sources, including Modern Ghana, Punch newspaper, Ghanaian Times, and Daily Guide. Join us next week for another True Crime Niger story. This time, we'll go to South Africa for the case of a mother who was able to recognize her daughter just by looking at her legs. True Crime Niger is a Triple E Media production. Production copyright 2021 Triple E Media Productions. This episode of True Crime Niger was produced by Antonietta Kalunta, John Iwodi, Nabila Usman, Nico Rivers, and Sam Tibakaji. Executive producer Ramat Muhammad. Special thanks to Rabia Hadeja and Mala Iwa Badu Ikaliku. Stay alert, stay alive, see you next week.